Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
And a very good afternoon and welcome to the second hour of Friday's edition of Spectrum. My name is Luko Mgwedi Phuthi. I did tell you that we're still continuing with those meaningful conversations with these powerful and inspirational men. Not only men, actually, because I think the very first conversation I had was actually with a female, but all in pursuit of just, you know, encouraging men to speak out and to be financially savvy, to be healthy, and everything in between. And I think most of the time we overlook what men really mean in our society by not really equipping them. And so I'm excited to say empowerment is coming up next week Saturday, but let me not take all that away from Billy. So Mr. Billy Silikane, who is an internationally acclaimed inspirational speaker, is joining me this afternoon. Mr. Billy, good afternoon. Welcome to Radio Pulpit.
Good afternoon, and thank you for having me, and good afternoon to your listeners.
Lovely to have you with me today. I must say, you are touching one of the topics that are always overlooked, I must say, with men, because we always think men have to have money and that's it. You know, we don't have conversations about how it affects them when they actually do not have that money.
Yeah.
So welcome. Tell me, Mr. Silikane, why do you believe that financial literacy is such a crucial skill for men in today's society, and how does it contribute to empowerment?
Well, I think we all understand that we need to acquire a few kind of literacies in our lives as we grow. And financial literacy is one of the ones that, unfortunately, no school, no university teaches.
Mm.
It's something that we are expected to just pick up as we go. And as me and you know, in South Africa today, out of 100 people that will go on pension, only 3 can afford not to go and look for a job.
Sure.
97 will have to get another job to make ends meet.
Sure.
So what does that tell you? It tells you our level of financial literacy is at a freezing point low.
Mm.
And why is it crucial for men to actually understand this? Because when you are financially literate, you understand, you're like, it's almost like you have a dashboard in front of you, and this dashboard gives you the capacity to make decisions rationally and not emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you look at the way that, we're in November now, there's this November, what do you call it?
Black November.
Whatever.
Yeah, Black Friday, that's
it. Now it was a Friday, now it's a November.
Yeah.
So they used to say, you know, spend the money that you don't have for one day. Now they are saying, spend the money that you don't have, which will affect your next generation for the whole month.
Mm.
You know? So when you are financially literate, you don't get taken up by this kind of, vibes. And you get excited. And then you end up spending money on things that you want instead of things that you need.
Yeah.
Because
when
you are financially literate, when you have 10 rands, for argument's sake, in your mind, you know exactly how much of that money is yours, how much belongs to charity, how much belongs to investment, how much belongs to education, and how much belongs to what you need.
Yeah.
And that you can only achieve if you take time to understand how finance works.
Sure. Mr. Silikane, you made quite a compelling statement early on about how there is actually no institution that prepares us, as to how we should handle our finances, if you think about it. Now, what practical steps can men take to improve their financial literacy, especially if they're starting from scratch?
Well, the first thing that you need to do, you've got to read books. And nowadays, you don't only have to read books. You can watch, videos on YouTube and stuff like that.
Mm.
But you've got to be intentional about learning about money.
Okay.
Let me just give you a few examples. There's a podcast called The Total Money Makeover by a guy called Dave Ramsey. Very, very powerful. I mean, it's a podcast. You can go back. He's interviewed a lot of different people that have got a lot of different financial strategies and lessons. And you can look who he was talking to, what he was teaching, and you can say, this is what I want to learn.
Mm.
So the first thing is, must be intentional about it.
Okay.
It is not going to happen accidentally. You're not going to wake up tomorrow and understand how money works. You're going to learn how money works if you take time to learn how money works. So that's the first thing. You've got to educate yourself. The second thing is, you've got to learn to track your spending.
Yes.
Now, I'll give you a simple example. Actually, I can even ask you, and say, if you were to print your bank statement today, you know, today is what, is the 8th.
Yeah.
If you were to print your bank statement today and I take it and I take a highlight and I highlight some few ATM withdrawals and ask you where that money has gone to, do you know 99% of the time you will not tell me?
Yeah, true. That is so true.
Because people don't track how they spend their money. So the second thing is you've got to learn to track how you spend your money.
Okay.
The third thing, you've got to learn about simple savings, even before investment. Because I say to people, before you become an investor, first you learn to become a saver. You save money first.
Okay.
And then once you have that money, you can then say, okay, now I've got a disposable income of 5,000 rand, which I've saved over a month, 2 months, 3 months. How can I make it increase? That's when you think investment, you know?
Yeah.
But first, you've got to learn to save. And here's one of the things I say about people. I say the most financially disciplined person is a broke person.
Of course.
Because when you meet somebody who's broke, they will tell you what they're going to do when they get money.
Yeah.
It's a saw. You know, I'm going to do this. And as soon as they get the money, all those ideas they were talking fly out of the window.
I'm guilty. I know.
You know.
Yeah.
But you must remember, I mean, here's the fundamental truth. There's no subject called in any university, in any college, called how to make money, how to save money, how to grow money, and how to multiply money. There isn't.
Of course.
So most of the time, it's trial and error. We trial and we error. We do this, we fail, we try again. But I can tell you now, the thing that you must do for yourself, you must be intentional about learning how money works.
Okay.
It's like a car. I mean, when you first started to drive a car, you got into this car, if it was a manual car, you saw three pedals, and you've got two legs. You think, oh my God.
Exactly. You know? I don't know how you think of these things.
I mean, I'm a curious and very observant mind. And then eventually you try the car, you jack, but eventually you learn how to drive, and then it becomes second nature.
Of course.
So the same thing comes to money. You can't talk big money unless you can take care of small money.
Sure. Okay.
You can't, you know. If you know, and remember, I always say to people, trusted to be promoted. So if you can't be trusted with 1,000 rands, what makes you believe you can be trusted to 10,000?
If you can't be a good steward of it.
If you cannot become a good steward of it, why should it come to you?
Before we know it, we see you and I blew it because you don't know what to do with the money.
And you know why? It's always mind over matter. You've got to prepare your mind, you know, your thinking process, the algorithm that controls your brain. It must understand the language of money. It must understand the energy of money. And it must understand that money is only a tool, you know.
Okay.
And that's what, money can be a tool for good or a tool for bad. But it is a tool.
Of course.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So if you've got the most amazing tool in your hand, but you don't know how that tool works, you're going to abuse it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So the same thing with money. If we don't understand its essence, we don't understand its power, we don't understand its energy, when we get it, we're going to abuse it.
Sure. This is interesting. Now, and I actually think, Mrs. Slagat, I'm also thinking now, you know what? This is speaking to me, not just men. I've got to be intentional about really just studying about money.
Oh, we use it every day. You
ladies. Yes.
And especially you ladies with that four-letter word, sale.
That's the thing. That's, you know, when you spoke of that Black November or Black Friday thing, immediately in my mind, I thought, sale. And sometimes, you know what I've noticed, especially with this Black November thing, is then they kind of take prices up and then say the original price is a sale. And we fall for it.
Oh, yes.
We fall for it.
Yeah. You know what? It's like the same with December. And I say to people, you know, Apostle Paul once said that I've learned to live with much and I've learned to live with less. And I've learned to be the same in both circumstances.
Okay.
So, my December is like my May.
What?
So, now it's May.
Are you winning?
What's the difference? Yes. What's the difference between May and December?
It's hype.
Just 30 days. 30 days?
Yeah.
And the weather. The difference is, it's the same 30 or 31 days and the weather, you know? And that you've got some few days that you're not working. But
true.
If you plan proper for those few days, you don't have to go crazy and spend money, because if you spend, like now, my next year December holiday is sorted out. I know I'm going, flights are paid, hotel is paid.
What?
I know where I'm going. It's not like I'm going to be panicking when comes September next year or whatever.
Wow.
Because, you know, you've got to learn to number one, live beyond your means, and number two, be very visionary about how you handle your finances.
Wow. Okay. No, I'm learning. Now tell me, Mr. Zilagade, what are some of the biggest misconceptions that men have about wealth and success? And how do these misconceptions impact their financial decisions?
Well, the first one is that, you know, wealth equals happiness. But again, we have to qualify what do we mean by wealth, because being rich and being wealthy are two different things.
All right. You know? Yeah. Please explain.
So I define the concept of wealth comes from a medieval concept of wellness. So in olden times, when somebody had a good family, had a good farm, had good livestock, had a big, you know, his life was together, he had this thing called well-being. So eventually they said, this man is wealthy. So he's happy, you know, emotionally, he's happy spiritually, and he's got physical manifestation of things that define, or he can trade to grow his capital, basically.
Mm.
So the first misconception is you need money to be happy. I know a lot of people who've got lots of money, but they're never happy.
Of course.
You know? So that's the first misconception. Money is never going to make you happy. And the second misconception is financial success is going to happen tomorrow. Actually, some people think it's going to happen day before yesterday.
Mm.
You know, it's not. It takes time. It takes discipline. It takes risk. It takes failing. It takes learning, you know. And the third misconception that people have is, no, now I don't need financial assistance. Right. So who's going to tell me what to do with my money? But if we were that smart with your money, you'd be wealthy. You're not wealthy because you're not smart with your money. Therefore, you need a man or a woman who understands money better than you, and they can hold your hand and show you how your relationship with money can be very toxic or can be very sweet.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah.
So the misconception are, I'm not going to listen to Mang, you know, anything. You've got to, you know, I've always said to people, I always, always seek those who have walked any path ahead of me, who are smarter than me, and who have achieved a few things that I also aspire to have.
Mm.
Those are the men and women whose knowledge I seek.
Wow. That's wisdom. Yeah. That's wisdom. Definitely. Now, you're set to participate in the upcoming Empowerment Summit, Mr. Zilagade. Can you discuss the importance of long-term financial planning versus short-term financial achievements? And how can men find balance in this area?
Well, I think what we need to understand, we need to understand three concepts: short-term, medium-term, and long-term.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, these terms, we define them not based on generically what society says, but based on your life and where it's moving.
Mm-hmm.
So let me give an example. In the midterm, I need to buy car X, okay?
All right.
Now, I'm going to ask myself, is this decision logical or emotional? Am I wanting to buy a new car based on logic that maybe my car is getting old? Or am I wanting to buy a new car based on emotion because my friend has bought a new car?
Ish. Okay.
So if you then going to base your decision about the noise that is happening around you, you always find yourself in debt because you're not running this life according to your pace, but you're running it according to what you see people around you have without you even knowing what they do when you are sleeping.
Exactly. I'm laughing.
But finally, digital that. Well, now not so, but you want to go crazy and compare yourself with them. And here's the thing. A lot of people spend a lot of their time trying to, you know, buying things they don't need, trying to impress people they don't even like.
Imagine.
And who people don't even care about them.
Mm.
You know, so as a man, you've got to understand that one of the biggest challenges that we men have is our ego. And I say a great man is not the one who is able to conquer his external enemies. A great man is the one who's able to face his ego head on and deal with it and discipline it. It won't go. It will all be. It will always be there, but you've got to learn to discipline it. Because sometimes ego is needed for certain processes. But when it runs your life, somebody's got a new watch, you want a new watch, you're not going to be able to build any financial, you know, sustainability for your life.
Yeah, that is so true. Okay. Now, tell me, one of the key points of discussion at the upcoming Empowerment Summit will be men and wealth. How does financial stress impact other areas of a man's life, such as their mental health, their relationships, and personal well-being?
So, you know, I'm going to have to verify this statistic, but it was like this some time back. So the highest rate of suicide for men in South Africa was between the 14th of December and the 21st of December. It was the time of the highest rate of suicide. And why? What was the cause? The biggest stressor for that was, financial stress. Because there's an expectation of keep December, the bonus, you must buy this for the kids, PlayStation, that the wife wants it. And unfortunately, when the man does not have it, and then he chooses a path which is permanent for a very temporary challenge, and he commits suicide.
When men
are financially distressed, they literally lose their logic.
And they just want to escape from the situation.
Yes. And by the way, psychologists will tell you that people who commit suicide don't commit suicide because they hate themselves. They commit suicide because they love themselves so much so that they're not willing to go through what they're supposed to go through.
Okay.
And therefore, the quickest thing is I'm gonna bow out. Because I don't have, I can't go through this. I'm too clever. I'm too important. I'm too this and I'm too that. And then they do the worst thing and they commit suicide.
And we're busy thinking it's cowardice. Meanwhile, he's like, you know what? Let me protect my peace and step out.
Yes. Yeah. We see it from the outside. We don't know it. But it's when they've got so much pressure and they feel worried. How am I going to face my kids? How am I going to face my wife? How am I going to face my friends? What am I going to say? They're going to say this about me. They're going to say that about me. So I love myself so much so that I don't want to go through that pain of judgment. So the easiest way is to call it off.
Wow. So why do you think it's important for men to develop a healthy relationship with money, Mr. Silkan? And how can they start cultivating that mindset?
So, well, the first thing is you've got to shift your focus from consumption to creation.
Say that again.
So, you've got to shift your focus from consumption to creation.
Come on. Okay.
So, let me give an example. And to a very small percentage, I'm a non-branded person. Now, let me explain what that means. It means I don't wear extravagant brands that cost obscene amount of money and deliver no value to me.
I can't wait to meet you.
What if I'm wearing? And listen, I'm not saying it's bad to wear the thing. Different strokes for different folks, but that's my personal philosophy. I don't understand why I should go and buy a Gucci t-shirt for 40,000 rand. It's a t-shirt.
That's me.
That has got somebody's name. By the way, Gucci is a surname. It's some Italian surname.
Oh.
Why should I spend so much more of my money to buy from this Italian family and to go around advertising them and saying to them, hey, look at me. I'm the consumer and I'm making you rich and I'm becoming poor all the time.
Because now you're decreasing your money.
Exactly. Oh. Trying to buy an emotional value that is intangible and can't be measured. Because all of these things, people are buying it for emotions. Oh, I want to buy a Gucci, but I'll be killing grand. Man, it's just blah, blah, blah. So the first thing, shift your focus from being a consumer to being a creator. The second thing is practice gratitude. When you live your life with an attitude of gratitude, you don't chase things anymore. You then become the person that attracts things because you're operating from a space of fulfillment and gratitude.
All right.
And once you appreciate, and I'll always tell you this. I'll say that a person that complains and you give them 10,000 rands, they'll still complain that inyani. But somebody who practices gratitude, you give them 10,000 rand because of the fact that they practice gratitude. That money then becomes 100,000 in its ability to do things.
Yeah, that's so true.
Get what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely.
So the You've got to practice gratitude.
Hmm. Tell me also, Mr. Dlengane, what are some strategies that men can use to avoid the pressures of comparison, consumerism, and debt?
Well, the first one is you've got to have your own personal goals and focus on them.
Mm-hmm.
What is it that you want for yourself? What is it that you want for your family? And actually, you must always draw, you know, there's this thing called the Benjamin Franklin technique, where you take a page, you cut a line in the middle, you mm-hmm. write pro and you write con.
Okay.
So for everything that you want, ask yourself, what is the pro of me having this and what is the con of me having this?
Mm-hmm.
If there's more pros and less cons, then have it. If there's more cons and less pros, don't do it.
Mm, that's a good exercise.
It is, because I'll give an example. I mean, it's December now, and somebody says, hey, Chomi, are you Durban? You know, and they usually say, you know, everybody's going to Durban. And you ask, Kimo, mom,
yes.
And then they then say, Mar Chomi, look, not one of I don't think, but who are these people who are following to Durban?
Also, you know, just because 2 seconds ago you were not going there, so who's everybody?
Hey, what was this? So if you don't have your own personal goals, you're going to fall into that trap that says, I'm going to go to Durban, and guess what? You don't have money. What is the next thing that you're going to do? You're going to get a loan.
Exactly.
So you're going to borrow money, not to use it as a seed, but to consume it.
Mm-hmm. And then you spend the next 3 months paying for that loan instead of continuing with your life.
Telling people how terrible life is,
you know,
how bad your boss is, but you're projecting your own issues on other people.
Exactly.
Because you're irresponsible at December, you know. So the first thing is, have your own personal goals and stick to them.
Sure.
The second thing is, limit your exposure to social media. My God.
Can you repeat that, sir? Please.
Just take a social media diet for a week. Switch off everything. I promise you, in a week's time, there would not have been so many changes in the world.
The moment you are off that social media, I actually think I agree with you. There's not much pressure that you have to deal with. I think I always enjoy, because for me, I'm one of those people, in December, I go home. From a rural area. There's hardly any network. So I don't see much of what's happening in the world during that season. So I think I agree with you.
You don't have undue pressure. You don't have undue, and it's sad that social media has become more addictive than cocaine.
Sure.
And it just devastates people so badly.
Mm.
And people don't know it, because the mental issues that we're crying about, people get depressed. Oh, I posted and nobody liked me. I mean, are you kidding me? You know? I mean, oh my God. You know, take a deep breath.
Why did you post? Was it because you like yourself, or was it because you wanted people to like you?
You know, it's because you probably have an overinflated kind of ego, you know, and you think you're happening.
Yeah.
And suddenly you post and nobody... People think, you're not happening. Then, oh my God, you become depressed. So limit your social media exposure, and that will give you peace, because you don't have the noise.
Yeah.
And every decision that you make is based on you making that decision, not people pressurizing you. Yeah. The second one is practice this thing called mindfulness spending.
Mindfulness?
So what is mindfulness spending?
Okay.
So how you practice it is, before you buy anything, ask yourself if it is aligned with your long-term goals, or it is influenced by impulse or peer pressure.
All right.
And I promise you, most of the time, it's influenced by impulse or peer pressure.
That's true.
Because when you use mindful spending, you'll walk into a shop and you say to yourself, is this part of my plan? It's not part of my plan. Is it part of my budget? It's not part of my budget. If I buy this thing, you know, what's going to happen tomorrow? I'm going to be out of pocket. Therefore, I'm not buying it.
Okay.
You know.
Mm.
And the third thing I say to people, especially like at December, banks, they throw you with so much credit. You can do extra credit, whatever.
Yeah.
Take the credit, but use it. Take it.
Okay.
But use it wisely to buy equity. Let me give an example. There's a stock exchange called Citrix.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a very simple stock exchange. You don't need to be a very clever person to know how it works. It basically, you know, uses a lot of this consumer, OMO, blah, 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 you know, all these kind of things.
Mm.
So let's say you've got a credit card of 20,000 And then Standard Bank or whoever bank says, hey, you've been such a good person, we're going to give another 20,000. Take it. But immediately put it to Citrix.
Okay.
Because you're investing the money. You took the credit, but you didn't consume it. You then use that credit to begin to create equity for yourself. And 2-3 months down the line, that 20,000 is going to be maybe 30,000, maybe 25,000, but it's going to increase in value.
Mm.
But if you take it and spend it, the value disappears.
Because either way, let's face the reality, Mr. Silligan, you are going to take it. Even if you didn't say they must take it, they were going to take it and still, you know, go on holiday, do whatever.
Yes.
Mm.
You know.
Sure.
So that's what you need.
Okay. Lastly, Mrs. Lagani, who can participate in the Empowerment Summit and how can they participate?
They can go to the website www.empowerment.co.za, and who must come is young men and men who want to be in the same space with other men, but in a safe space where they can deal with issues that they're finding trouble to find solutions to in life.
Mm.
So it's a very safe space where men are going to really tell each other the truth. It's not a place where we're going to be stroking each other's egos. It's not a place where we'll be praise singing. It's a place where we're going to say, guys, ladies and gentlemen, we have the capacity to become great men.
Mm.
We have the capacity to change our lives, to turn the life of this country. But here are things that we've got issues with, and let's start dealing with them effectively and change this nation.
You know what makes me happy, Mr. Silligan? It's a real man's conference, not those fake things they make on social media.
Yes.
This is a real one.
Absolutely. A real one. A real one. A real one.
And how do they register? What's the website again? And please just clarify that empowerment for us.
www.empowerment.co.za. empowerment.co.za.
Thank you so much, Mr. Silagane. Appreciate you spending this afternoon with us. And hopefully I'll see you next week. God bless.
Absolutely. Hope to see you. Thank you very much. Have a good one. God bless you.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729. And our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
Bringing Christ to your home. Radio Pulpit 657 AM.
Looking for a daily dose of inspiration? Radio Pulpit has got you covered. Follow our new WhatsApp channel and get inspirational content delivered straight to your phone. From uplifting daily devotionals to motivational podcasts, we have it all. Plus, stay in the loop with our latest events, exciting campaigns, and all the news about your favorite programs and presenters. To follow our WhatsApp channel, go to WhatsApp or go to radiopulpit.co.za for instructions. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion, keeping you in tune and in touch.
You and 657 AM and life, a winning team on the road to eternity.